To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. You can find my stuff online at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's MikeLuoma.com. That's how you can find me on Facebook and Twitter, too, if you like what you're hearing, if you want to say hi. Look me up. Facebook.com/MikeLuoma and Twitter.com/MikeLuoma. We also have a Facebook page, Facebook.com/GlowInTheDarkRadio. I've also got a mailing list I'd like you to join, if you're into what you're hearing. I'm going to give you the chance to win a very cool and exclusive prize as part of the mailing list. I'll have more details on that coming up. But you also get an exclusive when you join. You get a PDF, an ebook, of the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. Not really a guide to life, it's a compilation, a collection, an anthology. It's got a short story you can't find anywhere else, Alibi Jones and the Ghosts in the Machine, which is now actually part of the novel you're listening to on the podcast, Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. You also get a preview of Alibi Jones' Vacation, which is one of the stories in the new comic book. There's preview art from Red Hot number 3 and Good Samaritan number 2, and excerpts from the Vatican Assassin graphic novel and the Vatican Assassin Index. So there's a lot of stuff in there. It's Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. It's a PDF. It's an ebook. And it's yours when you join the mailing list. You can sign up on our Facebook page or at glowinthedarkradio.com or even just use the subscribe box on the sidebar of the blog. And as I was just mentioning, we are enjoying the adventures of Alibi Jones on our podcast. Currently into Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. And Alibi Jones and his covert ops team are investigating a supposedly haunted ship. This giant alien, apparently abandoned ship has shown up. And Alibi Jones and his crew are investigating it. Another crew was sent in when this thing last showed up, about 5 years ago. All those people were killed. And as part of the initial part of the mission, they recovered their bodies. They are now on board Alibi Jones's cruiser. And Alibi Jones has just escorted his two civilian specialists over onto the ancient alien ship to continue their investigation into the supposedly haunted vessel. Xenobiologist Devin Humphreys and psychic-sensitive Lenora Schwald are attempting to discover more about the ship and those who piloted her in the distant past. So now they're on board the ship itself. That other crew that investigated 5 years ago created a small habitable section inside the vessel, and that's where Dr. Humphreys is now taking readings and analyzing the material the ship is made of. And Schwald is trying to establish mental contact of some kind. Alibi has left them to their work. We're going to check in and see how they're doing. In Chapter 19 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. Now, this part of the novel is actually based on the short story, Alibi Jones and the Ghost in the Machine. And you can find that in the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life, which is the ebook, the PDF that you get as an exclusive when you sign up for my mailing list. But I have actually gotten one copy, one, printed, and I'm going to give that away. Somebody's going to win the only print copy in existence of the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. It's not going to cost you anything to enter this contest, but you do need to be a member of my mailing list to get in on it. So sign up today. I'll be sending out the email with the details soon. It's a review contest, so what's going to happen is each review that you make on a website will get you an entry into the contest. That's each review you make in the month of July becomes an entry into the contest. But again, more details will be on the way in the next email to my mailing list, so be sure you sign up now. And that's my big news. I mean, it is 4th of July weekend. I'm out here at the lake. I just tried Facebook Live videos for the first time. Interesting. Kind of a strange feeling that you're live and talking to the world, you know? Which is strange for me to say, because that's what I do for a living as a radio DJ, but I'm not used to being seen. It's like, there's my ugly face. Damn. But I think I'm going to try to do Sunset on the Lake tonight live. Share that live with my iPad. We'll see how that works. In other news, I want to remind you that you can still get a copy of The Adventures of Alibi Jones number 2. That's the new comic book. I'm working on a couple of comics right now. I'm lettering Red Hot 3, and Good Samaritan Unto Dust number 2 is also in the works. And each of those issues finish off their stories. 2- and 3-part stories, you know, making up an entire story. 2 or 3 issues. The Alibi Jones comics are different. They have 2 or 3 full stories. 2 or 3 short stories done in the issue. 1 and done. Each issue. But yeah, the Good Samaritan and Red Hot comics are like 1, 2, and 3 parts. But what's cool is once they're done, these new issues, the story's finished and I can collect them and put them out as a collected graphic novel. That's the plan, anyway. Well, up next, we're about to get into Chapter 19 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. But first, I wanted to give my friend Ray a chance to tell you about his brand new podcast. If you like words, you're going to like this.
Hey, guys. I'm Ray Belli, the host of Words for Granted, a brand new podcast that looks at how words change over time. Have you ever wondered where words come from or why they mean what they mean? Yeah? Well, me too. In fact, I think about these things all the time, and that's why I've created Words for Granted. It's kind of like an ongoing greatest hits compilation of the most fascinating word evolutions in the English language. Did you know that villain once meant farm worker, or that bead once meant prayer? The bottom line is, if you're a word nerd, let's be friends. You can find out more about the show at wordsforgranted.com and follow Words for Granted on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I hope you tune in to the next show.
Now, here's Chapter 19 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. It's not working, Lenora Schwald said. Schwald and Humphreys spent the entire day over on the alien vessel. Humphreys appeared happy. Schwald was not. Back on the bridge of the cruiser that evening, she complained to Alibi Jones.
And I still have this headache. I've had it ever since you turned on your nulli thingies.
The transbase nullifiers? Alibi asked. You think the transbase nullifiers are causing your headache?
Yes, she said. And interfering with my ability to contact, well, anything.
Ha! Humphreys laughed.
Devin!
Schwann scolded. Humphreys looked up from his scanner display.
What? He asked innocently. I didn't hear what you... Is something wrong?
Lenora thinks our transbase nullifiers might be hampering her ability to mentally contact whatever race might inhabit some part of that ship over there, Alibi said.
Oh, Humphreys said. That is curious. Perhaps we're merely speaking of a different sort of field, somehow generated by the brain, which is also dampened. Oh, well, that's a whole different kettle of fish, as my grandmom liked to say.
You're not saying you agree with me, are you, Devin? Schwald asked. Changing your tune?
No, he protested. It seems highly unlikely. But perhaps it merits further study. Someday.
Wow, she said. That's a lot coming from you. Thank you, Devin.
So, Alibi said, what were you laughing at, Humphreys?
Laughing? Humphreys asked, confused.
He figured it out.
Oh, I wasn't laughing, ha-ha. I was exclaiming a eureka of sorts.
Jeesh, Schwald said. Make me sound like the reasonable one.
This is perfectly reasonable, Humphrey said. And it may even tie into your thing, Lenora.
My thing? She said. You mean my theory?
I'm a scientist. I can't call it that, Humphrey said. Your idea. She smiled. Humphreys rolled his eyes. Go on, Humphreys, Alibi said. What did you find?
Do you remember how I said the material the ship is made of is a microfaceted silicate?
He asked.
Something like that, Alibi said.
Well, that's all the ship is made of, Humphreys said. Although we are in a space inside the vessel, the space itself is an apparent anomaly. A bubble. Most of the ship is simply that material in strands woven together. There is no inside, except where we are. And undoubtedly in a few other places as well, one would imagine. Other bubbles.
So it's solid? There's no inside? What does that mean? Alibi asked. Now he was confused.
If I'm correct, and this too is still in the idea phase, these strands are conduits and storage batteries for incredibly complex energy patterns, Humphreys said. The ship was a transport system for beings made of energy of some kind, well beyond any we've encountered so far, if I'm correct.
Ha, indeed, Doc, Alibi said.
So, Schwald said, about my headaches.
Cat spoke up from over in the co-pilot's chair.
I find it highly unlikely that a device designed to render a transpace drive inoperative would interfere with your mental abilities,
Kat said.
You are a Dakur, Schwald said. No offense, Mr. Kat, but maybe human sensitives aren't your specialty, hmm?
Kat took offense. He growled. Lenora Schwald moved further away from the Dakur.
As a human scientist, I'm inclined to agree with our alien friend, Humphreys said. The nullifier is a tool. It works on a field.
Much as you have an interesting idea, Lenora, this is not superstition. This is science.
If it's science, then so are my skills, she said. If they respond to the nullifier.
Circular logic, Humphreys said.
Alibi considered Schwald's request.
Not sure I want to risk turning off the nullifiers. Maybe if everyone's in a safe place. No one's getting ripped in two this time. Kind of glad Emily's off duty for this discussion.
If this is beyond what we've seen before, like you said, Doc, we can't rule out the impossible, Alibi said. He wasn't as skeptical of possible mental sensitivity as the other two on the bridge. Alibi didn't know what Schwald's experience was, but he'd had his own. Aliens and alien devices communicated telepathically with him, spoke inside of his mind in the past. He was open to the idea the nullifier could somehow be generating some kind of interference to that. He was not open to the idea of putting the cruiser and the lives of his crew in danger.
I can meet you halfway, Lenora, Alibi said.
Really?
She asked, brightening.
Really?
Kat asked, incredulous.
You aren't seriously considering that the nullifier is somehow messing with her invisible mind waves, are you, Alibi?
Humphreys asked. Yes, really, Alibi said to Kat. He turned. And yes, I am, Humphreys. I've seen stranger things than this turn out to be true. You were just talking about mental energy fields.
And advanced beings, Humphreys said. Other races.
Given his own mental sensitivity, it was a little odd Alibi didn't feel anything coming from the ship or their surroundings. He'd let his own mental guard down earlier to see if anything was out there. Long ago, he was taught a trick of picturing double doors closing in his mind to keep others with telepathic abilities out. He'd let them open earlier in the day when babysitting the scientist and the psychic over on the shipwreck. Nothing tried to come in through his open doors. Probably a good thing. I won't turn down or turn off the nullifier on this ship, on the cruiser, Alibi said. But I will turn down the big nullifier over on the side of the alien ship for a short period of time, so you can see if it makes a difference. But if there's any power drain or other weirdness, we're turning it back on immediately.
Captain Jones, I must protest, Humphreys said. Putting us in danger for some wacky...
I'm cutting you off right there, Alibi interrupted him. I don't expect anyone besides Lenora to be over on the alien ship when we turn down the nullifier, Doc. You'll be safe behind our ship's own nullifier field, here on the cruiser. No need to start throwing around names. We don't even know for sure that the nullifier is doing anything. Speaking of pseudoscience... Alibi shook his head. And who's this Captain Jones guy, anyway?
Thank you, Alibi, Schwald said.
We'll do it first thing in the morning, Alibi said. Everybody get some sleep before we try this. Schwald called the cruiser over the comm from one of the small rooms in the alien ship.
Are you sure you don't want to join me over here, Devin?
She asked. I'll be in my cabin, Humphreys said. He hesitated. He'd showed up in the ship's common room for breakfast, but wasn't talkative. He'd sulked around on the bridge as Lenora Schwald prepped for her return to the alien vessel, lurking in the background as Alibi went through safety procedures. Now that she was over on the craft, he'd allowed a scowl to freeze on his face. Cheer up, Dr. Humphreys, Alibi said. Think about it. At worst, she'll contact something. At best, you get to say I told you so.
Right, Humphreys said.
He turned and left the bridge. It doesn't surprise me Dr. Humphreys doesn't believe in mental telepathy, Emily said. His own mind seems pretty closed. Alibi smiled. He'd been thinking a similar thought, but kept his mouth shut. He didn't want to insult anyone. Sounded better coming from Emily, anyway.
Since I'm captain and all?
Old scientists seem to get that way, Alibi said. Probably because they have to prove everything their entire life. And get it checked. Twice.
You have been around a lot of old scientists, Cat asked.
My aunt used to run the project, Alibi explained. So, yeah.
Well, Captain Al, I'm ready when you are, Schwald called. I'm going to try to meditate. Going quiet for a bit.
Understood, Alibi answered. He moved up a new screen to give him control of the external transspace nullifier mounted on the side of the alien vessel.
Let's see if Krish's invention is doing us any good here.
Alibi laughed. You're laughing? Emily asked, surprised. Just thinking of Krish. He invented the nullifier, Alibi said. You met him on Argentium, briefly. He'd make a liar out of me. Krish is one of the few old scientists I know who still has an open mind. He once helped me find a planet that I'd seen in a vision. He did. In a vision? Emily asked. Yeah, Alibi said. I was looking for a lost Eldred base. Krish handed me this hunk of debris from an Eldred ship, and in my mind I could see the surface of this small planet and the stars. Alibi trailed off. It's a long story, Emily. Kind of involved. Have to tell you later. Gotcha, she said. Sure. Okay, Alibi said. We're doing this. Ready, everybody. Reducing power to the external nullifier in 3, 2, 1, now. He didn't want to take it all the way down at once. He pulled back power to the device gradually. We're at 3/4 power on the nullifier, Alibi said. Cat, any change in our ship's power?
An uptick, as the power to the nullifier is reduced, Cat said. Less draw, to be expected.
No drain? Alibi asked.
No drain,
the Dakur confirmed. Taking it down to half power, then, Alibi said, as he lowered the feed. Half power.
Curious, Cat said. We are not losing power, but I did not see another gain this time as you reduced the feed.
Don't like that, Alibi said. Keep your eye on it, Cat. Let me know if there's any fluctuation.
I will,
Cat said. The Catman leaned forward in the co-pilot's seat and called up another floating data screen.
Ship is at full power, he said. All systems check out 100%.
Good, Alibi said. Emily, any change to the alien ship? Negative, she said. All our scans are negative. We're not picking up anything. And the scanners are on full spectrum. So we're okay, unless they're using an energy we don't know to look for.
My headache is gone, Schwald said over the comm. I knew that field had...
She trailed off and went silent. Lenora? Alibi called back.
I'm getting... feeling... something,
she said. Can I get visuals? Alibi asked Emily.
I'm not getting a video feed from that room, Emily said. Just her audio.
Can you turn it down a little more, Alibi?
Schwald asked. Just a little, Lenora, Alibi said. Down to 1/3 power.
Thank you, she said.
Alibi slowly reduced the power feed to the nullifier to 1/3 full. 1/3, Alibi said.
Thank you, Captain,
Schwald said. She grew silent as she again tried to make contact with the ship. Alibi, Cat, and Emily sat on the bridge of the cruiser. They monitored their screens and checked for anything strange happening to their ship or the ancient alien vessel they were docked with as hours dragged by. Little changed among their readings and scanning data. What did only did so with minor fluctuations. Humphrey showed up on the bridge at lunchtime. Alibi pressed him into service, getting sandwiches for himself and the bridge crew from the ship's galley. We all gotta eat, Alibi said. Lenora, Alibi called over the comm. Do you need anything? Lunch or something?
No, thank you, Alibi, she said. I have everything I need with me. Already here.
Anything yet? Alibi asked her. Contact of any kind?
Not so far, no, she said. But there's a hint of... Well, I don't want to say anything yet, Alibi.
Let me know if you, hear anything, he said. Or if you need anything.
I will, she said. Thank you, Alibi.
Humphreys brought sandwiches back, and the four of them ate in silence on the bridge.
This is the textbook definition of too quiet. Bothers me.
Alibi gave Cat and Emily each an hour's on-call break as the afternoon wore on.
Amazing how doing nothing can be so tiring.
Humphreys wandered off the bridge after a couple of hours, but reappeared as dinner time approached. He sat down in a passenger seat behind Cat, across from Emily, to wait for the rest of them, hoping they'd soon actually take a dinner break. Alibi was contemplating calling a halt to the day's experiment when Schwald broke the silence.
Yes? Schwald asked.
No one said... Alibi started, but Schwald cut him off.
I'm hearing a voice, she said. What is it saying? Alibi asked. It's asking me something, Schwald said. It wants to know who I am.
Alibi, I'm seeing something here, Emily said. Some kind of exotic energy signature keeps popping up in my readings, as if it every so often flashes across the hull of that ship. What is it? Alibi asked. I don't know, she said. Could it be their version of a transpace field? Alibi asked. I don't think so, she said. It's a lot different. Trying to analyze it now.
Alibi, Schwald called over the comm. The voice is asking why we are hurting it, why we're causing it pain. The nullifier is causing them pain. Can we turn it down some more?
Alibi turned off the comm feed to Schwald. Cat, any fluctuations inside our ship? Alibi asked.
Still checks out, Alibi, Cat said. No real change.
Hurting it. Not sure this is at all wise, but...
I'm turning it down some more, Alibi said. Cat growled. Alibi and Emily both stared over at him. He settled back down in his seat.
I would like to go on record as saying this is a bad idea, Cat said.
You can, Alibi said. Turning it down to 10%. Cat continued to growl, low in his throat. Emily laughed. Kind of sounds like you're purring, Cat, she said. It's cute. Cat stopped growling.
It is not meant to be cute, Cat said.
Before Emily could reply, Lenora Schwald again spoke up.
That's it! Now it's really speaking to me!
Alibi turned up the gain on the comm, as if he could somehow hear whatever Schwald was hearing. He closed his eyes and tried opening his mental doors to see if he could hear anything that way, but his mind was greeted by mental silence.
Huh. You'd think I'd pick up something.
After a moment, Schwald spoke again.
Yes?
Schwald said.
Yes, I am here. Are you the ship? A ghost? Another being?
There was no sound over the comm, or inside of Alibi's mind. He closed his mental doors.
I am inside you? So you're the ship?
Schwald asked. Silence.
Yes, I am here.
Schwald's last word grew into an extended scream. Turning the nullifier back on full, Alibi shouted.
Power drain, Cat called out. Just hit. We can't fully power the nullifier. Something is drawing us down.
Alibi was on his feet, intending to head for the airlock. Cat's report stopped him. No, Alibi ordered. Cut everything else except atmosphere. Full power to the nullifiers, now! The lights dimmed down to almost nothing. Alibi didn't want to walk to the alien ship in the dark, so he waited. Half of the floating screens on the bridge blinked out. The other half flickered. Alibi prayed they hadn't turned the nullifier back on too late. Hoped they wouldn't have to pay too high a price for the risks they'd taken.
Power level stabilized, Cat said.
Alibi sucked in a breath, realized he'd been holding his. The bridge began to brighten. The screens came back on, solid. The comm was restored. Lenora? Alibi tried the comm. Lenora, can you hear me? Lenora? No answer.
That was Chapter 19 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Yeah, that can't be good. Lenora, can you hear me? I don't know, I just had a flash of the Who there for a second. But yeah, Lenora Schwald just seemed to be making contact with something. And perhaps not for the best. So now you're going to have to come back for the next episode, Chapter 20 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Now, these events also took place in the original short story, Alibi Jones and the Ghost in the Machine. The only place you can get that right now is in the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life, which is an exclusive ebook that you get when you sign up for my mailing list. And as part of a new contest, I'm going to be giving away the only print copy of that book in existence. Could be yours. More to come. Join the mailing list to get in on it, and you can do that at glowinthedarkradio.com or facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. Just hit the sign-up button on the Facebook page. Or go to the blog. There's a sign-up box in the sidebar. And I'll be sending out an email in the next week here, telling you how you can win this exclusive print copy of the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. It's going to have to do with reviewing my books and podcast and or podcast during the month of July. Each review you do in the month of July will be an entry into this contest to win this print copy, exclusive only print copy of the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. And again, you got to be in the mailing list, so sign up so I can send that email out and let you know what's going on. Keep up with the Adventures of Alibi Jones in the comics, too. Remember, issue number 2 just came out, The Adventures of Alibi Jones. You can find it online at IndiePlanet.com or DriveThruComics.com or also at Comixology with the guided view, which is very cool. I like reading my comics on my iPad using Comixology because of that guided view. It's beautiful. They are to be commended. Once again, you can find me online, glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's MikeLuoma. That's how you can find me on Facebook and Twitter, too. Look me up and say hello. afterthere.com/MikeLuoma. We also have a Facebook page for Glow in the Dark Radio, which is, you know, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. So I hope you'll get in touch, say hello. If you're curious about what this contest is all about, do so. You can also email me, glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com. That is all for this time. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.